Welcome to Legal Tender, 30 minutes of intensely satisfying entertainment and enlightenment. Legal Tender begins now.
Good morning, welcome to Legal Tender, and if you're a big fan of Prince, get out your purple guitar and crank it up, because this show is about Prince.
Prince.
But not in the thing that you would actually expect, because what we're really interested in is law and finance. That's what our show's about. You practice law, I'm into finance, I manage people's money, but here's what we're going to talk about at Prince. He passed away.
Prince the singer, formerly known as like the sign, the symbol, right?
Yeah, didn't he change his name to just a symbol?
It was
which
just
I,
did. Symbol.
I didn't know you could actually just change your name to a symbol, but yeah.
Yes. Formerly and the Prince.
Yes. He left a gigantic estate without a really, really crucial piece of paper. He didn't have a will.
Bingo. Right. So we're going to talk about what documents do you need? What should you do? What are some of the major mistakes that people have when they saunter into my or any lawyer's office when they say, "Oh, dear dad is dead. How do I get his cash? I want the cheddar." You're like, well, what about dad? Is that okay? Who cares? Give me the cheddar.
You're like, but wait a minute. You haven't spoken to your dad in 25 years.
I know. I want the cheddar.
I want the money.
I know. You're not even kidding. So we're going to, the first thing obviously is the will. What, Cody, from your understanding, the non-lawyer perspective here, what is a will? What is that document?
A will is a document that says, what do you want done with all of your stuff after you die? Your house, your financial assets, your cars, all of your stuff. After you paid off all your debts, what do you want?
False.
Okay.
It is a document that would try to memorialize what your intent is, but they call it your testament, right? You know what the word testament comes from?
No.
You're about to get learned. Buckle up.
So learned.
You're about to get learned. So in the ancient Roman days, right, the Pax Romana, there was a procedure that before you were to testify in court, you would stand up in front of the people, right? The senators, where the word senator comes from, it's the old ones, the seniors. That's the Latin word for the senators. So he'd stand up in front of the senators. They would grab...
Unless you're little Marco. Then you're not senior.
That's right. You would so you would grab your male genitalia, your testicle, and you would testify. You would raise a hand and you would swear upon a curse upon your children's children's children that what you're saying is true. That's where the word to testify comes from. It used to be a formal way. And in fact, in the Bible, if you are a Christian, you are familiar with this phrase where Abraham comes in and says, place your hand on my thigh. That was a Jewish way that they would make a promise that may my children be cursed, right, if I didn't tell the truth. So a will is your own written testament that you are telling the truth. The problem is,
Will, I've got some really good ideas for new intros to our show. New video intros to our show.
Come here. Place your hand upon my thigh. Hey, kids, this is Bible talk here. So don't even start talking about FCC.
This is like BBS right now.
Pretty much, right. Pretty exactly much. Right. Yeah, so when people draft a will, even if you have a will, you know this, Cody, from all the rant and raving you hear from my office,
that
people will actually draft wills that don't reflect what the person wanted. Mm-hmm. Probably because the person didn't know what they wanted. My experience being a lawyer is that people come in, they don't know what they want, and they say, I want this. Like, actually, do you really want that, or do you want to have this? Oh, yeah, I want that. Mm-hmm. Well, do you really want that, or do you want this? Oh, I want this.
Yeah, and because they don't know what they want, and their kids don't know what they want, right, then they pass away, and so now we have an estate battle.
Yes.
And the kids all pony up, and they get lawyers, and we go to court, and we deplete the estate lower and lower and lower because they find
right,
it out.
That's the beautiful thing you talked about right there. You talked about how the lawyers finally get their day in court. I mean, don't you lay in bed and think, I want my lawyer to have his day in court or her day in court. Mm-hmm. I mean, how unfair to have a lawyer not have their day in court.
You know, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that warms my heart more than listening to you get up on your soapbox and just go.
There you go. I mean, it's not the client's day in court, it's the lawyer's day in court. Because why do people go to law school? So they could tell everybody how smart and wonderful they are, right?
Exactly.
That was the number one thing that I hated about law school. I'll tell you that. Is the fact that you have a room full of 1,000 people. Everyone thinks they're special snowflakes. I hated it. I hated the fact that everyone had to tell me, just how smart they were at all times, right? Mm-hmm. And so the premise of this show is to not show how smart we are, but how fun we are. So I actually had a bailiff.
And if we haven't succeeded in your eyes, just go ahead and turn the radio off.
Right, just turn it off. So I actually had a bailiff, and so that's a person who's a lower bench for a court, who said to me, so the judge's bailiff is listening to this. She said, you know, Mr. Thomas, and I listened to your show, and I thought, you know, what a goofball you are. And then I can't help myself, but I'm rolling down laughing. I said, you're welcome. I'm not trying to show how smart we are, but how fun we are.
That's what we're here for.
Right.
We're here to make you laugh.
The law should be able to be boiled down to some very simple points, right? And that's the point of a will. When you die, it should be pretty simple. These are my kids. This is or was my spouse's, whatever it is the case. And here's what I want done with it. It should be simple. But if you don't have that, then what happens with Prince? What happens?
Yeah, so Prince had an estate plan. He actually did have an estate plan. But instead of him deciding what it is, the state is going to now decide
Beautiful.
What is going to happen with all of his assets because he died intestate without a will.
Without having stood in front of the senators.
And grabbed his testicles.
And testified.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I know. So for those of you, again, who are going to object, again, these are historical references. I'm sorry you object to history. I'm sorry you object to the truth.
If you are offended by this, next week I want you to actually watch our video because we're going to have a special intro just for you.
There you go. And did you know, speaking of truth,
yeah.
Did you know, like they call it a Bible verse, the word verse is truth. That's what it means. It means the truth. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't like hearing the truth, then shut the book. Meaning shut the channel. Turn it off. I'm sorry you don't like it, buddy. We didn't write it. We just are reporting it. Don't hate the reporters.
Yeah, so Prince's estate, they think that it's probably worth somewhere in the range of $300 million. Well, the unfortunate thing about Prince's estate now is most of it is going to get depleted because of all of the fees that are going to have to pay to go to court and fight to value the estate because the IRS is going to come in and say,
oh yeah, it's worth $800,000.
It's worth $1.5 billion because that's what happened with Michael Jackson, actually. The lawyers for Michael Jackson, after he passed away, went to court and said, his estate's valued at $7 million. Which I'm like,
it's okay. All right. So what that just happened was, that actually is a technical term I just did. It's called the laugh test. No, I was preparing myself for a number, and I couldn't restrain the laugh. So,
luckily, they probably made this in a filing.
Yes,
and they didn't actually have to say it out loud because nobody could go to court and say Michael Jackson's estate is worth $7 million.
Right. So actually, it's funny. Amy Winehouse, the singer, who her estate was valued at $6.4 million.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding? Really? Really, $6.4 million, that's all. That wouldn't pass the laugh test. So if you ask your lawyer and you're saying, hey, lawyer, will you, you know, make this argument? If you see the lawyer close their eyes, what they're doing is they're picturing themselves in front of a judge, and the judge is laughing, and they want to see if they can keep a straight face and turn their face angry. If they can't do it, then it doesn't pass the laugh test.
Yeah. So you know what the IRS countered with in Michael Jackson case?
Huh.
So they came in at $7 million.
Yeah.
The IRS countered with $1.2 billion.
Nice.
They're like,
but we have some liabilities to all of these families who might come and sue us. Right?
Yeah. Do you know what one of the biggest assets in Michael Jackson's estate was?
Neverland?
It wasn't his music or his assets or whatever. He owned the Beatles rights. He bought it.
Oh.
So that was one of the biggest assets. So there was all these questions about, well, wait a minute, is the government actually going to own rights to the Beatles? Because they're going to have to pay this huge estate tax bill, and they're going to either have to sell them or are they going to own them? How's it going to happen?
So what happened?
I don't think they've settled it yet. They're still fighting.
Jeez.
They're still fighting.
Well, so obviously you want to make sure your estate is going to be fairly evaluated because you're going to have taxes. So somebody, assuming you have a state above $2 million here, or you're outside of a farm exemption. So there's lots of reasons why you want to make sure you have a will. One of the primary reasons is most people who die have children. Yep. Now, it doesn't mean that they do, but most people do. What happens if you have a minor child? What happens to those kids?
Yeah, if you have children that are young, then you had better have a will so that the state doesn't decide what happens to
dun,
your
dun,
kids.
Dun, 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 dun. Remember the, it's like a... The Wizard of Oz, the old witch who comes in, right? Amber.
Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, the Wicked Witch. But what was she in the actual story? She was a relative. Some horrible, hateful relative will come in and try to steal your children. Therefore, have a will. I mean, that's kind of the moral there. So A will, again, is supposed to reflect what is the ear Google and I now.
I was trying
you've got
to look
all the green
it,
face
only, yeah,
pictures
I,
here.
I can't find it really quick.
Yeah, you're going to have to get way too deep in the storyline there.
All a bell.
Yeah. Welcome to growing up in a singing family. And my family, I'm like, you know, Cody.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
It is truly annoying because yes. Every one of these classic films that come on and she goes, didn't you ever watch this? And I was like, well, what are you talking about?
Voice,
she's like,
by the way,
oh, your parents were terrible. I cannot believe it. I'm like, your parents were terrible. You actually watch this? I'm like, I'm going to go take a nap.
I know. And we, you know, and that's something that, you know, we grew up that seemed normal. Some kids grew up, you know, in slave camps. Some kids grew up in lap of luxury. We grew up in the lap of song. I mean, every day was a song. I mean, I watched, you know, I thought it was perfectly normal to go from, you know, you go and race your dirt bike and sit down and watch a nice Sound of Music replay that you've seen 100 times.
Yeah.
It seemed totally normal to me.
So now our kids are, Amber sings to the kids before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm. And so they don't have your croaking voice. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now what happens when Amber's gone? Or what happens
sing
when Amber?
Sing to us, Papa.
And now Papa gets to sing.
There you
I
go.
Have a terrible voice. I don't know anything about
amen.
Music, but I sing.
There
and actually
go.
Every once in a while the kids go, no, we're good. Stop.
No, we're good. That's enough.
I'm like, you're 5 years old. You sit there and listen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So the one thing you can do. There is a law that was recently amended as of this year. So we're talking current law here. You listeners are getting some current law. It's a transfer on death deed, which I'm holding on right now. It is what it sounds like. Now, a lot of people, you know, they're saying, well, do I need a will if I, A, don't have kids that are minors? B, you know, my state's small. Well, you, if you have real property, if you got land, you're going to need to do something with your dirt. Because if you die without a will, you cannot transfer the property. Meaning dad and mom die in a car crash together as they're texting one another and checking Facebook. They both die tragically. Now, the children are like, well, they don't have a will. What do we do? Well, you walk into the lawyer's office. You walk in the title company. You say, well, we're going to sell this to Jim. And so then Jim goes to try to buy the property, and the title company says, well, kids, you guys don't have title. This is in dead mom and dad's name. And they say, well, now to do this. They say, go see a lawyer. So they come in the lawyer's office, and the lawyer says, oh, ooh, this is going to be expensive. I need new rims.
Did you guys bring your checkbook?
How thick is, how many checks do you have in there as they peek into it?
You better call your financial guy. You're going to need to liquidate some stocks to pay me. I can guarantee that.
Guarantee, right. So you have to get, so you're like, oh no, we have an intestate estate, which means a failure testate.
And if both parents die, you got two estates.
Oh yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. What do we do now? So the point, this could be avoided by a very simple, easy visit to a lawyer. But what they'll do at that point is they'll have to go and they'll file for letters of administration, all to do one thing, to sign the real estate contract. That's it. They're like, wait, we just spent $4,000 to get letters of administration? Yes,
yep,
you did. You're welcome.
Get a will.
Thanks for the spinners. Get a will.
Get a will.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, but there's a new transfer on death deed. And here's what it allows. It says that they allow a person to actually create a deed and record the deed that transfers the property upon your death. And you can revoke it. So if I wanted to, for example, give you a piece of property that I own, but only upon my death, right? I can actually create a deed, record the deed, and then when I die, boom, the title company says, you have title, it's vested in you, no will necessary. It'll save you a ton of money. It's a great new mechanism that other states have that Washington finally adopted.
You give me any property, and I guarantee you what I'm going to do with it.
Liquidate it!
No. I'm going to start a wiener dog farm.
A wiener dog.
In your name.
Build a water slide. Build a water slide.
I'll build a water slide for the dogs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another estate planning mechanism you can do. You know, one other thing people like to do is they like to set up a trust. A living trust. What do you know about living trust?
So there's one of the most common types is called a revocable living trust, which is what it sounds like. You set up the trust. The trust will hold the assets in it. You can either change the terms of the trust during your lifetime, mm-hmm. or you can completely get rid of the trust during your lifetime. But what happens if the trust, when you die? Well, the trust document, instead of having a will to say what happens to the assets, you have a trust document
Jeez.
That says what you do with the assets.
You're right on the money.
You better believe it.
Yeah,
I came prepared today.
You did. It's amazing. So yeah, you're exactly right. And so this person becomes a trustee. The successor. So you could yourself be the trustee of your own trust. So here's what you do. They cost more to draft than a will. Mm-hmm. So you might spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 drafting this complicated trust whereby you would transfer all your stocks, your bonds, your properties, if you wanted to, into the name of this trust. And then when you die, instead of having to go through a probate process and pay court fees and pay lawyer fees, you'd have just, you know, your spouse or whomever it is who just decides that, hey, it's going to automatically transfer over.
Mm-hmm. And but it doesn't have to. If you have young kids,
yeah,
the assets can stay in the trust.
Mm-hmm.
A successor trustee will come in after your death, manage the assets for your kids until they reach a certain age, and then they'll distribute the assets. So there's lots of things you mm-hmm. can do. The other great thing about a living trust is that in the event that you become disabled, you can't manage your own affairs, a well-drafted trust document will set up who's going to come in and manage the successor trustee who comes in and manages this stuff for you.
Right.
Instead of having to go to court and get a guardian or whatever the case may be.
And so people who don't say, look, I don't want to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on this estate plan stuff. What you do all instead of that is, again, you get your will and then you give this durable power of attorney that's effective upon your disability. What that does is if you get hurt in a car crash and you're not going to die, you might die, but you're not going to die immediately. This document allows whomever it is to, call AT&T and complain about your cell phone bill, to call the PUD and say, this is outrageous, to go and do whatever you could otherwise do, to transfer your property, to buy and sell, whatever it is, those are the things that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can create that same document without spending all the money just by doing this durable power of attorney document.
Yes, everyone should have a durable power of attorney. Because
yes.
In the event that you become disabled, whoever is going to be managing your affairs, paying your mortgage, paying mm-hmm. your insurance, mm-hmm. paying your car bills, mm-hmm. paying for all this
right.
stuff, if you don't have a durable power of attorney set up, it's going to get really expensive and really messy for someone to be able to get something to manage your affairs. You're going to have to get an attorney and you're going to have to go to court. Because I've ran into this a couple of times for elderly people that I've managed money for. They either have a stroke or heart attack. They're in the hospital for an
right.
extended period of time. They're incapacitated. They can't manage their stuff. Then the kids call me and they say, hey, we need to get some money to pay bills. And I say, sorry.
You have no authority.
I have no authority to give them money mm-hmm. because they don't have the document. They can call Charles Schwab where the accounts are and they can say, hey, we need some money. And Charles Schwab can say, I'm really sorry. There's nothing
right.
I can do for you.
So if you fail to have this very simple document, mm-hmm. look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm negligent. I just am negligent.
There's actually a really technical term for someone who doesn't have all the documents.
Stupid?
No. It's the ostrich approach to estate planning.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really
nice.
Technical. Yeah, very
that,
good.
That, those are spinners. Anytime that somebody's not prepared their estate documents, just picture the lawyer laying back with either spinners or floaters. I talked to you about what a floater rim was, right? I actually saw somebody with floater rims.
Okay, I have no idea what a floater rim is.
Okay.
Go.
If you're listening to the show, Google.
Do you guys know what floater rims are?
Google floater rims. What it does, there's a rim on your tire that actually that's weighted. So it appears though as the car is gliding or floating across the highway. It's the creepiest thing you've ever seen. But those things are like, oh yeah, we're watching a video right now.
I just turned on
the
video.
Look at it. We're watching the video.
That
car's backing
awesome.
Up, and you can't
That's
even see
amazing.
The tires moving. The point is those things are like, yeah, $4,000 a rim. So if you care so little about, you know, preparing these documents, picture your lawyer with all four rims. And then the next set will be gold.
And then he's gonna open up the back hatch of his SUV with the floater rims,
right.
And the Bengal tiger is gonna get out.
Right. So you can avoid this by just going and doing a very simple, inexpensive estate plan process. It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people to draft a will, to do a power of attorney, to do a healthcare directive, that usually is $500 to $750, depending on where you are. That's an easy, plain vanilla deal for people who do not have these massive estates. Obviously, if you have a ton of cheddar in your bank account, then you're going to want to spend a lot more time crafting something specific for you. But it's not hard to do, to just go and do it. And there's lots of lawyers around here that can do that for you inexpensively. Otherwise, if you don't do that, just close your eyes as you're driving down the road, listen to the show, and picture the lawyer with floater rims that are $12,000.
Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Pay someone who is really good at estate planning to draft your estate plan. Number one, it's a lot cheaper to have them do it than to go to court after you die and have your kids, whoever's going to get your stuff, fight it out. It's going to be way more expensive to do that than it would be to just draft the document so mm-hmm. everything's laid out.
Right.
The other thing is have someone who knows what they're doing draft it, because if you have a terrible attorney
yep.
draft your estate plan, you're not going to ever find out that it was bad because you're going to be dead.
You'll be dead, right?
You'll be dead, but you don't care. But yeah. your kids or your relatives or whoever is going to find out it was really poorly drafted. And there's some amazing stories of, we always hear about the celebrity ones because all their stuff's public and that's what everyone cares
because
about.
Because we love to celebrate them. I mean, isn't that why they're yeah. literally, what is a celebrity? It's somebody we just celebrate.
Yeah.
They walk in the room, we say, oh, thank God you're here, Britney Spears. So good to see you. Celebrate. I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's the other thing. Estate planning is not a one-time event. It is a continual process of when your life changes, you got to
right.
update your estate plan. Let's talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman. Everyone knows who he is.
You know? Nope. No.
Okay, hold on. I'll pull up a picture of him on my computer.
What?
You know who Philip Seymour? What movie?
No, audience. Who?
What movie was he in?
Who is this? Hunger Games?
Yep.
So we have Lindsay Valance here, who is our new secretary, who's replacing Nicole, by the way. So Nicole's going to be
good riddance.
She's
not, good riddance.
Nicole's pointing her finger saying, you shut up right now. Yeah, so yeah. Nicole's going to be leaving us. Oh, I know who
yeah,
he is. Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, famous guy, famous actor. I'm looking at the picture here.
Yeah.
So Nicole's leaving us, sadly. She asked us not to harass her, right?
Well, I can guarantee you I'm not.
But we're going to anyway.
Yeah.
But so she's going to move back to a very sad area where Cody
I can't
and
believe
I are not there.
She's going to Somalia.
It's Somalia, right? It's
going to be a
very,
pirate.
Right. She's going to become a pirate. There you go. Right. And so Lindsay Valance will now take the ire of our humor
yes.
and our anger. We don't have a lot of that in here, though, do we?
We don't have a lot of anger, no.
No.
If you can't think our sarcasm, it'd be a pretty rough place
no,
to work.
But other lawyers, they have all the anger. And that's, yeah. if I could not write a book to fill, well, in my lifetime, to fill all the pages of dislike that I have for most lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if your listeners out there and you say, oh, these lawyers are horrible. You're right. I know.
It's think a general about, theme that runs through our radio show is how much you dislike
right,
lawyers.
Right, but think
yeah.
about if you were the judge and you have to actually see these lawyers all the time. Your job is horrible. My heart goes out to these judges. I don't want your job. Your job is a hard, because you have to deal with people
underpaid
who say to themselves every morning, I can't believe how great I am. I can't believe it.
The sun is going to rise today because I am an attorney.
And they say, boy, these pants have shrunk. Right. So the judge has got to deal with people like that. And unfortunately, you, the client, won't know because you're going to see a lawyer and the lawyer is just selling. All they're doing is sell, sell, sell. Look how great I am. Instead of like be a truth teller. I got no problem telling the truth, saying, yeah, I have no idea what that is. Go see this person. They do.
Exactly.
But that's because, hey, man, we're here for fun, right? In our show side. But on the legal side of things, you do need to find the right lawyer who's gonna draft a document, who understands and ask you the right questions, because otherwise you won't know.
Yeah, so Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, right.
Back on the railroad track. Welcome back. Philip Seymour Hoffman, he drafted in his estate plan, had a will, had everything set up.
Great.
He wasn't married. He gave it to his girlfriend or whatever she was, gave everything to her. Well, he'd had a couple of kids with her. The kids weren't provided for in his will.
Oh, yes. So
then the lawyers come in and we all go to court so the kids can be provided for because he didn't update his will.
He accidentally forgot, Judge.
Yeah.
And here's my attorney bill of $195,000 for the motion. I mean, that's what that's about. See, I mean, so it's important to remember that even though you draft a will, your heirs and even non-heirs can sue to change your will.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a case where that's exactly what happened. I mean, Cody's like, wait a minute. Cody, with his hearing, he's like, how could the judge change what the written document said?
No, this was one of the most breathtaking. I actually just sat in the courtroom in shock because I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah.
I deal with this stuff actually quite often, but I've never heard of this before. Actually, the guy's will was changed after he died, and the judge ordered this piece of property transferred to somebody else. I was like, that actually just happened.
Yes.
It happened.
What was great about it is there are 9 lawyers all arguing, and each one has a different point, a different deal. And it gets to me, I stand up, and he's like, Mr. Thomason, I don't need to hear from you, thank you. And I sat down, very just, Your Honor.
So, excuse me, I'm not sure what to do with my hands because I'm not used to not talking.
Yeah, right. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of upset about this. I literally spent 40 hours preparing for this. But here's the point. The point is that if your lawyer...
I would like to object.
If the judge says, I don't need to hear from you, that means you won. And so... So even though I was really upset and you look bad in front of your client because they're like, they don't want to hear from you. And you're like one of the kids that don't get to play Foursquare and you don't get to have your day in court, you know, it means you generally win. So that was humiliating and satisfying at the same time. A weird experience.
That was a very weird experience. Here's the other thing that people need to put in their will. What happens to your body after you die? Do you want to be buried? Right. Do you want to be cremated? What are you, what sort of funeral arrangements?
Launched out of a rocket?
Oh, that's one of my favorite stories. Should I tell that story?
Yeah, tell a story. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell the really abbreviated version.
Bingo.
Guy, super successful, owns an aerospace company, gets cancer, passes away.
In Seattle.
Yeah. Had a girlfriend who was referred to in the meeting that I saw as the Venezuelan bombshell. So in that his aerospace company was worth like $100 million. And so he gave all of that money, wanted the company to be sold, give it to this charity to fund the charity. Mm-hmm. And he was going to give the Venezuelan bombshell the house and everything in it. And he had like a $5 million home on Lake Washington.
That's sad she only got that.
Yeah.
She's worth so much more.
Well, come to find out, he had testicular cancer, so he had had some sperm frozen. She goes to court because she wants to get the sperm. And she wants to have a baby so she can have an heir to the estate.
Turns out she's not quite so...
not quite so dumb.
What you might say. Yeah, right. You're like, oh, wow. Wow.
So
she was a stair climber. Good job.
So, yeah, I actually heard this talk from a lawyer who represented his estate.
Nice.
Everyone lawyers up. They all go to court. At the end of the day, what happened was she took the house and she got a couple $1 million and she went on her way. But she wouldn't go until the sperm was put in a rocket and launched into outer space, so that's exactly what happened.
Otherwise, some
that's a great story.
That's a great story.
That's a great story.
Well, you know, think about it, because some other Brazilian bombshell, right, could come in and, you know, have a love affair with his deceased estate and become the heir to the fortune.
Beautiful story.
So she had to make sure nothing was ever going to happen. It was an appropriate ending to a beautiful, beautiful love story.
Yeah. And
beautiful love story.
Actually, the lawyer that I actually heard give this talk about telling the story, she got so angry when she was talking about this because apparently she had something to do with the charity. I don't remember. So and so she was red in the face. And I mean, the veins are popping out on her head.
She's
telling
do-gooder.
This story. Yeah, she was.
Oh, boy.
But there's really, you have to have what you want done with your body in your estate plan because do you remember Ted Williams, the baseball player?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember what happened to him after he died?
No.
He had two wills.
Yeah.
One of the wills says, I want to be cremated. The other one said, I want to be cryogenically frozen.
Nice.
And so the kids go to court to battle over what's going to happen to his body.
Yeah.
And
cremation, right? Cheaper. The kids get more money.
There's a little,
my gosh, that's going to take away my yacht, Dad. Forget it. You're becoming ashes.
No, there's a little bit of debate about what actually happened here, but what everyone thinks happened, they cut his head off.
Froze
his head.
Nice.
And then they cremated the rest of the body.
Ah, good. That's a good say.
That's
good
true story. That's
that,
a true story.
Yeah, that I'm sure that really was his intent, right? He's like, I just want to save my... No, I want to be cryogenically frozen in case somehow they can download my brain matter, or maybe that's where his mother took a head, you know?
Well, they said, hey, you never know. Maybe sometime in the future we'll have the technology, we can bring him back. I'm like, well, what? What are you going to stick the head on?
Right. So the other thing, you know, I guess our final point is, again, making sure you plan for disability. We talked, briefly about making sure you have your durable power of attorney that provides for when you have an injury. But think about, think about, well, what happens if I am injured? Where am I going to get money to pay for all my medical bills, right? Then all of a sudden you hear knocking at your door, at your deceased estate door. You hear my knock, knock, knock. It's DSHS. And they say, hey, we have a medical lien now. So if you have that in your future, you should be consulting an estate planning lawyer. And there's lots of great estate planning lawyers that can plan for, if you're like, boy, I really want to make sure that all of my assets don't get sold upon my death merely because I have all these medical bills. Mm-hmm. And so you want to plan in such a way that the state can't come back around your plan. For example, you cannot do this. You cannot say, oh my goodness, mom's dying. Let's transfer all of her assets over to dad or over brother, because that's called a fraudulent transfer. A fraudulent transfer.
That's
right?
Not what I'd call it.
What's that called?
That's called creative estate planning.
Yeah, right. So those kind of transfers are voidable. So in other words, the state can come in, they can sue, they can undo the transfer. So it doesn't work. So therefore, just get it done right, and you have no problemo.
The other thing that people need to get is I don't know what your term for it is, but I call it a healthcare directive.
Uh-huh.
What happens if you're in the hospital and your doctor comes in and we go, don't really know what's going to happen. Yep. We can do X, Y, and Z. We can hydrate them. Or your heart stops in the hospital. Do you want to be resuscitated? Do you not want to be resuscitated? Mm-hmm. If you don't have a document that lays that out, it's going to be at the discretion of the doctors about what happens.
Yeah. And so most of the time you'll have when you walk into a hospital, each hospital has its own specific form. But what happens if you're in a car crash, right, and you're transported? Well, what happens if you're a vegetable? Do you want to have a big Terry Schiavo debate going on for a year as you're sitting there as a vegetable? Do you? Could she have survived? Could she come out? I don't know. But do you want to have that debate? And do you certainly want to have all of your estate liquidated because of your medical bills?
I've made it very clear to Amber that, hey, if it's not looking good, you pull that plug.
Oh, I was going to say, use a
pillow.
And
she has said...
use a pillow. Put it right over my head.
And she said, I just can't do that. And I'm like, well, fine, you're out. I'm not going to have you do it. I'm going to have Alex do it because it'll be shadow time.
Oh, shadow time, buddy.
And we're not even going to give this another day. It's right now.
No, it's right now. You're like, I just broke my arm. Sorry, buddy. See you later.
It doesn't look good.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are a couple... I guess that's kind of round the bases here, right? There you go. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give ourselves a little congratulatory backslap. The fact that I don't think we violated any specific FCC regulations. And,
and if we did, we look forward to hearing from management.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Look forward to it. Yeah. Look forward to the emails.
All right. Well,
Merry Christmas.
All right. This is Legal Tender.
See ya. The kind of work it takes to create wealth and the work it takes to keep it are very different. I'm Cody Gunn, CFA and owner of Gunn Capital Management. My firm is dedicated to helping you create a legacy for your family and the people you care about. Give us a call in Brewster at 509-699-3144 or visit us at GunnCapital.com. We'll walk you through the critical steps in maintaining and growing multi-generational wealth.
Opportunity, prosperity, legacy. We are Gunn Capital Management.